This is Scott Wells for the MagicWordPodcast.com, and we're here in day four from Rimini, Italy, with the Federation Internationale Societe de Magie. I just like saying that. FISM, as is well known. And in this podcast, we have quite a few chats with quite a few lads and lasses, actually. I get a talk with Ruben Moreland, who was one of the contestants in the competition, along with Michael Perovich. We're going to talk with a couple of guys from Germany, plus David Kaplan, who was on the bill here this evening. Will Housen, who was recently won the Close-Up Magician of the Year at the Magic Circle and also is the editor of the Magic Circular. Also, we'll hear from Bill Herz, who is well known as a corporate magician, and of course, he has been to like a dozen of these FISMs, so he has a good perspective. And then we wrap up with Phil Cass and Philippa, who are from Australia. So, that's enough for me. Let's hear from them directly from their mouths here on The Magic Word. Well, good morning. This is Scott Wells from the MagicWordPodcast.com, and we are into day four. Just started watching the stage contest. We're just taking a short break, and I thought we'd talk again with one of the contestants, Mr. Ruben Moreland. Hey, Ruben.
Hey, how's it going?
Very good. Well, I was going to ask you how it's going. You're now taking a sigh of relief, I guess, now that your part is over and everything.
Yes. Now I can take a breath and meet some people and watch some magic.
Yeah, I'm sure your mind has kind of been just focused on that during the first few days.
Yeah.
Well, tell me something about what that's been like. I mean, for a young man at your age, I mean, that's got to be something.
You know, it's a big balance for me because I want to watch all these amazing performers, but I also want to practice. So I've been trying as hard as I can to see as many of these acts as possible because, you know, while it is a competition, you get to see performers that you'll never be able to all see together at once ever again.
That's true.
It's really, really incredible shows that you see at these contests.
Now, when you watch them, do you watch them for from a contestant standpoint, saying, I'm wondering if I'm going to be as good as that guy, or are you looking at just to get other ideas, or just an appreciation for how skilled they are?
At FISM, I don't think they really compare acts to each other either, anyway. They compare to a standard, and I don't really care about how they score. You know, a lot of acts sometimes get standing ovations and amazing applauses, and I personally am confused why there are acts that have great technical skill, but they maybe lack in performance, and vice versa. And so when I look at the acts, I'm really looking for a combination of everything, something that will impress you, but at the same time entertain you and kind of take you away.
And you've been watching the close-up contest as well as the stage.
Oh, absolutely.
The last couple of days. So who have you seen? What have you liked?
Oh, man.
Or who would you judge as being with that criteria that you've established there?
I love the close-up acts that you see things that look like true magic. There was a magician from Korea who had a little, kind of like the David Roth portable hole. He had a little piece of fabric that was a circle, and he placed it down on his close-up mat, took a little ping pong ball, or a golf ball, excuse me, kicked it over, and it just fell down. Like it was a hole into nowhere, and then he picked it all up.
Wow.
Then he picked it off, and it was gone. And that looked like real magic, so it was really cool to watch.
How about on stage? Anybody on stage you've seen?
There are a couple of good acts. To be honest, I think the best are yet to come.
Mm-hmm.
A French magician, Florian Sanve, he just performed.
Saw him.
He's great. I worked with him in Italy about 4 years ago, and his act has improved tremendously.
He's the guy that is the Iron Man act.
He had that great outfit and lit up, and he was like a robot producing CDs and cards and stuff. It was really great.
Very different and impressive. I thought he did a great job then, too. Well, back to your competition, that the road leading here, has this been kind of a long-term ultimate goal of where you wanted to be here, or what has...
I'm a busy college student, so I'm not a full-time magician, but I love traveling, and this is an act that I've been working on since I was a kid. So it's been almost 7 years I've been working on this act, and about 3 years ago I had a vision for what I wanted to happen by here, and about 3 weeks ago I finished all the ideas that I had up until this point.
Wow.
So it took a long time to get to here, and there's still a long way to go.
So there were still some new things you were putting into this act that were different from what you had actually won with, like at some of the other preliminaries.
Yeah, I keep adding to it. I'm not quite finished. I'm trying to make this as as solid of a story as possible, kind of like a Pixar movie, an 8-minute Pixar movie.
Yeah.
That's the ultimate goal.
Yeah. Well, what are you studying in school?
Electronic media.
So. And you're going to be hoping to work for Pixar maybe or something? Or?
That'd be pretty cool.
Yeah.
Not an animator though, but film, television, mm-hmm. and entertainment production, all that kind of stuff.
Which school? Where are you attending?
University of Cincinnati.
Okay. They have a good film school and everything?
Yeah, yeah. They have one of the top arts conservatories in the country.
Great.
It's a really cool program.
Great. And how many years have you got left?
Just one.
One. And then you're off into the
off
real world.
Off to grow up and make decisions for once.
That's right. Well, how do you feel that you went? Your performance.
Oh, maestro.
Did you feel
good? I was
good?
Very, very happy. Yeah, there were a lot of things that in past performances I was super nervous about. And the great thing about this is it gives you the deadline to rehearse. By the time I got on stage, I wasn't thinking about what I was doing. I was just having fun.
Yeah, and, that's great. That's
because
the way
of that, I think the audience had fun too.
Sure. Whenever that they don't see, you don't have any nerves. They don't see any nerves. You've broken that fourth wall, and they're just having fun with
yeah,
you.
Yeah, and now it's just a back and forth.
Awesome. Yeah. Awesome. Well, and we're going to get back into see this, but also just since my podcast is called The Magic Word, what is your magic word? What's your philosophy of life? What do you live by? What's important to you?
What's important to me?
Yeah.
Things that are important to me. Oh, don't do things for other people's approval. Do things because you want to do it. Do something because you're interested.
Yeah.
I don't like people who, you know, do things just to get people to recognize them or say things just to, you know, get a job or something like that. Do what you want to do. Don't sell out.
Don't sell out. Yeah. I like that. That's good. All right. For the Magic Word Podcast, that is Ruben Moreland. This is Scotty out. Scott Wells for the MagicWordPodcast.com. We're back in getting ready for the second half of the morning stage contest. I'm here with Michael Perovich.
Hello, Michael.
Hey, how you doing, Scott?
Good. Good to see you again since we were at the castle together.
Not long ago.
And that was in April. Yeah, it was just a few months ago.
Yeah.
Time flies. So, how many of these seasons have you attended?
It's the third one. I was in Stockholm, Beijing, and I skipped Blackpool on the mm-hmm. advice of some Brits I was sitting next to in Beijing, and then I came here.
And how have you enjoyed this one?
Oh, I've enjoyed a lot. There's been a lot of kind of technical difficulties, mm-hmm. but certainly the acts and the galas are wonderful.
Oh, the galas are fantastic. And last evening's party and dancing.
Yeah, oh, yeah, that was a blast, yeah. And I really like these stage acts. I try to see every one of them. Because I've never seen them before, you know. They're just acts that you don't see. And so many of the other things, like, because I live in California near the Magic Castle, I see the same people over and over.
Well, now that's a good basic comparison there, because you do start to see some of the same acts and even some of the same tricks by different acts. Mm-hmm. Whereas here, I think that you're going to be like this guy that we just saw that looked like Iron Man,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
doing color-changing records or something, you know. That was completely different. Now, I missed the first one or two. Was it a stage illusion? Then Den Den is always great manipulator.
Yeah, he had a little problem, but he still got a really great response.
Yeah.
He's excellent, yeah.
Because, yeah, I know he'd won, I think, the combined convention a couple of years ago or something
yeah.
in St. Louis. Now, but who, what about the first one, the stage illusion? I didn't see that. Do you remember it?
No, I don't remember.
Okay.
They're all gone. I remember the Russian comedian where the curtain got stuck again. So.
Oh, was that the guy this morning, you mean? With
yeah.
Okay, yeah. That was a little bit different. Certainly it was...
I thought the acts were stronger today.
Do you? Okay.
Yeah. But the two comedians I like from before, and usually comedy plays hard here, you know, it's hard for them to go over.
It doesn't translate to different cultures.
No, but there was a guy from, I think, Germany, where everything went wrong, and he had a dead dove and did a snowstorm in China
yeah.
with the feathers.
Oh, yes, that's funny.
And then the Serbian guy that was producing all the bottles and stuff, I thought he was really good.
Right, right.
So,
what about in close-up?
You know, I saw the gala last night, and I only saw a few of those acts, but there was a French girl, and of course I can't remember her name, but I thought she was good. She was real charming.
I didn't see her.
Yeah.
I've seen most of the close-ups.
She was early on the first day, but
okay.
I thought she was really good. And I've seen a couple lectures, and those were both good. I saw Rob Zabrecki, and then Luis Mateos on the floating ball. I don't know if you saw that.
I missed that one.
I just wandered into that kind of went, holy
yeah.
cow, look at this thing. I mean, he's got this great rig, and it's just, you can't believe it when you see it. And he had it set up to be seen. I mean, he had strong, you still could hardly see it in there. It was
right.
really neat.
Well, sometimes you go into a lecture, you think, okay, well, I don't know if I'm going to, if this is for me or not. And then just as you say, that was good. Another one, I was talking with Max Drogi last evening, and Max said that he saw Michael Motion, and I missed that one
yeah.
completely. He said I think that was my highlight of the convention, period.
Really?
And he said it was just the genius thinking behind everything. And I think it's a lot like we were talking about Luis, that he just had that one thing. And you think, well, you could talk an hour just about a floating ball. Well, yes.
Oh, he had it rigged in there. He had videos of the rigging and stuff. It's phenomenal. And I told you, I found out that you can recharge your iPhone in these lecture chairs. So now I'm going to see even more lectures.
No, I did not know that either. So the chairs are actually wired.
All wired, yeah.
Interesting. Now you have to have a converter, obviously, for American power or something. But
well, you only need a plug converter. You don't need a power converter because the iPhones are set up for both currencies.
You know, I wondered about that. Like with my iPad, I have just a regular power battery charger that I charge that first, and then I go to, because I'm afraid that I might.
I plugged everything in directly. There's
no
almost
problem.
Nothing that won't work on both.
Well, that's good advice. That's good to know then, too. So have you looked at the schedule as to what's going on the rest of the week and something you're looking forward to seeing?
I'm looking forward to seeing these acts in the evening, especially that Illusion show. I'm not that big on Illusions, but they really got a great lineup. This whole thing has a great lineup of people, so I'm looking forward to seeing Frantz Ferrari and some of these other guys do Illusions and stuff. So
I was talking with Topaz yesterday, and he's going to be on.
Before we start the second half, I would like to opportunity to introduce you the jury.
They're going to introduce the jury.
Introduce a curtain man.
I thought they were going to say, we apologize for the delay, but anyhow. All right. Well, thank you, Michael.
Okay.
Very good.
I'll
talk to you later.
Scott.
Okay. For the Magic Word Podcast, Scotty out. Scott Wells for the MagicWordPodcast.com. We've just finished the stage contest over here, and so we're getting ready to head to lunch and going to maybe seeing the rest of the afternoon lecture since the close-up contests are over. But I'm with a couple of guys from the, I can never pronounce it correctly, Furtengen Finger
Flinking
Fling.
Fingers, and he is the world champion from Stockholm 2006, yes?
Stockholm. And please say your names here.
Martin Eisele. From Germany.
Okay, and?
And Rainer Pfeiffer, also from Germany.
Okay. Now, how do you guys actually get together? I mean, whenever that you had first put the group together, how was it part of a club or something?
Well, I'm not a member of the group. I'm just kind of the thumb tip. I'm a friend of them.
The thumb tip, okay.
But you know them all, eh? I know them, but they formed many years ago when I wasn't into Magic.
Yes.
So when I came into Magic, they already formed as a group.
Yes.
But I came close friends to them.
That's great. And you had been with them.
Yeah, we found us in the conventions or the competitions, and we know all over Germany. And there was an idea in Munich to make Magic together in a theater.
Yes.
And because we want to collect money for the competition in Yokohama. Uh-huh. It was 1994. And it was a far up journey and very expensive.
Yes.
And so we get together, and then we found that it makes much fun to make Magic together and not all alone for his act. And then we form some ideas, and so it comes to
and
the
how many
flicking
people,
fingers.
How many people are in there?
It's 11.
11.
11 all over Germany.
And so it wasn't just from one city?
No. It's from Hamburg, Frankfurt, from Stuttgart, from Munich.
Right.
Yeah.
And some years ago, again, we were just talking earlier about being in Magic Live and performing there.
Yes.
Was that the last time that you guys had performed in the United States as a group?
Yes. It was in New York.
No, this year at 4F. Yeah, somewhere 4F this
year. 4F this year?
And then to the Magic Castle.
Yeah. Okay.
And they were in New York also with a public show. And then we were in Australia for for 2 weeks. We make also public shows there in Melbourne and in Sydney. So, but it's very difficult to get all together.
Oh, I'm sure.
So sometimes we are only 7 or 8.
Right.
And you can do the show
still
with 7, 8.
Yeah. Yeah, I missed the 4F this year. It's the first one in like 30 years that I've missed because I was working the Magic Castle. So I think you guys came in right after me in May.
Right.
Because I was there that week in the close-up.
It was a German week.
Yes, it was a German week. Exactly after I had left. And so let me just ask you both about the convention so far, this FISM, how you enjoyed it. What have been some highlights? What about you?
What to say? I haven't seen that many contests.
Okay,
off
been
the stage.
Going to lectures?
Some of them. I saw the close-up competitions, and there were some great acts, especially in parlor and cards. really, I saw stuff. It looks like real magic. I'm really.
Well, for an example, I mean.
For example, I can't remember all the names the Asian guys, but for example, one of the card competition, he had jumbo cards and small cards, and he had so visual transformations.
Fort You, I think.
Yeah, maybe.
I always thought he was kind of like a Leonard Green, you know, kind of a thing, which he was putting out these cards, and then they couldn't get the jumbo cards into the deck.
Exactly. And the transformations, they looked like real magic, and also the guy with the Rubik's Cubes.
Yes.
Where he solved a Rubik's Cube, and it looks like morphing, it looked like real magic. Wow, it's really great to see that live.
Very visual magic, I think. This year we saw many, many visual effects.
You know, I think also, if you haven't been to much of the stage competition, this seems to be the year of mentalism. I've seen more mentalists here than ever.
It's also popular in Germany. They talk much about Körpersprache,
body language.
Body language.
Yes.
So they don't say they make magic, magic effects. So they explain it with body language. So there's a much discussion in Germany if it's okay or not okay.
Right.
But it's very popular also on TV. Yes. Mental magic.
Who are some of the proponents? Who are some of the people who are well known doing magic there in Germany? They should say mentalism.
Jan Becker, Thorsten Habener. Nikolai Friedrich. He's one member of the Flicking Fingers also. Okay. He makes much mental magic.
Jan Foster,
very good.
I know Jan. Interesting. Well,
what I found about the competitions, especially close-up, that the density of the very high visual effects was so intense. It's not only one effect and then blah 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 and then another, so it was bam bam bam.
One thing was strong right after another.
It was very dense.
And now we see also the Korean come to the close-up magic. We know it all from the stage, but now we saw many good acts from Korea also in close-up magic. So maybe in 3 years we saw more and more.
We may see more because we're not sure whether it's going to be in Helsinki or whether it'll be
maybe
in Korea.
Maybe until Saturday over there.
Well, it's great. Well, let me ask you what your magic word is. The name of my podcast is called The Magic Word. And so what is it that is important in your life? I don't mean necessarily like hocus pocus or abracadabra, not like that kind of a magic word, but what is your philosophy of life? What is it that you would live by? What's important? You know?
Be happy.
That's a good one right there. I like that one.
And it's work-life balance because I'm very busy, not in magic only. It's for me only a hobby.
So balance.
So the balance is very important that I can make holiday 7 days in another world. And I cannot sleep here because it's 24 hours, but it's for me vacation. It's from the busy business. It's vacation.
Yeah. So you sleep at work then?
Yeah, so that's the work-life balance. To have both.
That's right. That work-life balance. Yeah. At work.
And then I make vacation from magic for a few days.
Thank you guys very much. I appreciate it. Your comments and for the Magic Word podcast.
You're more than welcome.
This is Scotty.
Thank you very much.
Scott Wells for the MagicWordPodcast.com, and we just finished watching Marco Tempest talk a little bit about technology and how it relates to magic and everything. And so now I'm talking with one of the people who is going to be performing in tonight's show or tomorrow night?
Tonight.
And also will be in Jacksonville, so if you haven't signed up, be sure to come and see him. He's going to be one of the FISM highlights. And you will see him then in Jacksonville at the IBM convention. Mr. David Kaplan here today.
Hi, Scott. How are you doing?
I'm doing fantastic. But how are you doing then right now? Because yesterday we were talking about, I think you had your props still locked in the room or something.
I got my props free.
Okay.
We've rescued my props. They're backstage, and I have to go and fiddle with them
a little bit
to get them ready for tonight. But it should be good.
Have you run through rehearsal?
Lord. We started at 4 in the morning.
Did you?
And finished at about 5:15.
Because I had to start the contest at like 8:15 or something.
It's unbelievable. This thing goes on nonstop. Yes.
Hours, huh?
Yes. But everything seems to work, I think. Well, I'm optimistic.
Yours is pretty technically challenging.
It
I think
is.
Of the kinds of things that you do during your show. Even the how long have you got? 8 minutes or 12 minutes or something?
I do about 9 and a half.
Okay.
10.
Okay. And even within all that, there's a lot of stuff going on. That
well,
so how much time they give you for rehearsing?
For rehearsal, right? I think we probably had about 45 minutes.
Okay.
Something like that.
Yeah.
And they were real good. I was pleased, and there's a lot of people helping, and they seemed to have it good. The lights seem pretty nice. They're setting it up for TV, pretty much. So.
Yeah.
It's a little different than a normal show.
You know, whenever that, before this began, someone, well, Paul Daniels was saying, I don't know if you've been in to see the stage yet, but the stage is great for television. Maybe not so much for the rest of the audience,
right.
But the lights and everything. What do you think as far as working conditions on compared to the stage?
Yeah. Absolutely, because the lighting is for television, so you're not really lit the way you, and you're a little removed from the audience.
Yeah. So yeah, the first row is how far back? Like 40 feet or something?
Yeah, it could be worse if there was a big orchestra pit or something. But, yeah, it could be a little better, too. Because for me, making the connection with the audience is the big thing. I don't really...
Break that fourth wall.
The TV.
Yes, kind of a thing. Yeah.
Of course.
Well, the television is phenomenal with the high definition. They're huge screen. They're, it's not big screen, but I mean, they are so good. I was watching one of the manipulation guys this morning, and I could see the catgut. I could see the loops he was actually using, you know.
I know. It's almost unfair because a lot of people will be watching the screens, and it's like they're 5 feet away from you.
Right.
And we should... Should we have that? I mean, should they give that to us? Should we have to be that good? I don't know.
You know, that's an interesting thought about that.
I mean, is that fair?
Yeah, suddenly stage becomes close-up.
Suddenly it's... Yeah, you have to you know, I did a circus in Zurich a couple years ago, and I had people sitting 5 feet behind me.
Okay.
Looking into my case, my prop stand.
It was an audience? I mean...
It was in the round.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
Circus.
Yeah, okay, okay.
So I had to completely reinvent my steels, which was a big project.
Which you're still using today, or I mean, are you kind of glad that you had that experience?
No, I'm only used. No, I went back to my regular methods.
Okay.
They weren't quite as good, but it got the job done.
Yeah.
And no, I don't think anybody saw it, and they were right there looking at it as it was happening. So I was kind of enjoyed that exercise. I kind of enjoyed
the challenge,
the challenge of doing it. But then working a circus and around is another challenge in itself.
Right. Sometimes I'm working at a trade show, it's that way, certainly, because you have the people, the salesman behind you, or some people in the booth, and they're kind of watching, you know, you've already gathered some people in, so it's a similar kind of a thing, you know, you have to think about. And then even working restaurants, that you have people kind of watching you, and particularly if they've just seen you at a table, they're kind of watching you reach in your pockets, and all of a sudden when you're doing the sponge rabbits or something, it's like, hey, I know where they come from now.
Yeah. We make our compromises.
Exactly. So, you said last evening this was your first physical.
Yes.
And you're having a great time?
I am.
And what have you seen or enjoyed or bought? Or
I have seen a fraction of the contests. I saw quite a bit of the close-up contest yesterday. Mario Lopez was great. And a guy I'd never heard of named Pyrrhic.
Pyrrhic, yes. I think he may be in contention.
I loved Pyrrhic.
Yes, from Switzerland?
Yeah, he was fantastic.
Yeah.
I would love to see his whole show.
Yeah.
And, I mean, there was really high-caliber close-up acts, and there's been some really high-caliber stage acts, but there's been some ones that I... not so much.
I wouldn't say that they fizzled. It's just that, in fact, if they were on any other stage, probably it'd do pretty well. But I would think that here they have a higher quality.
Yeah. And Jan Frisch was... his thing was amazing. Mm-hmm. I really liked that. But I haven't seen... I mean, I've only seen a fraction of the stage. I'd like to see more, but since I'm working, I'm trying to make sure that my stage thing works.
Right.
Good.
And so you'll worry about it tomorrow. You can go and kind of relax.
I had my lecture today.
Yeah? And how'd that go?
It went very well.
Good.
It was the VIP lecture, which...
I know. I didn't get to go. I'm not a VIP.
Yeah. I had to kick a few people out.
Did you?
Yeah, they weren't VIPs.
Because you had to pay like an extra couple $100, I think, or something to because there are certain things that VIPs get, like front row seating and some of the other kinds of things.
No, I didn't really kick them out. I threatened to.
Any of you people not VIPs? Out!
That's
right
what
now.
I said.
Oh. People with hung dog head. Okay.
Yeah, we had fun with that. You know, I see the lecture as a little show in itself.
Yeah, sure.
It's a different show.
Yeah.
But it's a show.
Well, what did you talk about in your lecture today? Just real briefly.
Well, you know,
be theory or do you
take stuff? Yeah. I do some tricks from my walk around act that I don't do anymore, but I use those to illustrate my ideas about performing, character, creativity, presentation ideas.
Right.
And I also talk about the electronics because I do quite a bit of that. I show how that's done, the wireless wizardry. Well, actually, Craig Filicetti's making
Craig, yeah. Craig, Pro Mystic stuff now.
Yeah, Media Star. Mm-hmm. Perry Pollock system.
Right.
And, yeah, you know, it's kind of a show. I do gags and things.
Mm-hmm. And so from here, of course, you're going to be going back to Jacksonville, or at least to Jacksonville for the IBM convention.
Yes.
And then where else after this? I mean, or after that?
Well,
are you going to Magic Live?
I know. I have a regular show every week in Atlantic City in a burlesque show.
Mm-hmm.
And I do 10 minutes in my 10-minute act every Thursday night through October 15th.
Now, is this like the one you're going to be doing this evening?
Same act.
And so for people who want to see and they're out on the East Coast and want to go to Atlantic City.
Yeah, the Borgata.
The Borgata.
Yeah, it's a big variety show, really, but the theme is burlesque. Mm-hmm. So you get some burlesque dancers. It's kind of like an old-style burlesque.
Isn't that very nice?
Yeah, they're trying to get kind of a 40s vibe, and it's really fun.
Now, what's the latest?
Nice.
What's the latest on Trump? I heard something about that they were going to be taking down the Trump Tower or something out there. That he wasn't. I've been to the Borgata. It's a beautiful place.
One place that's doing really well.
Yeah,
a couple places are, but that's the most popular place.
Yeah.
It's a 1,000-seat theater. They fill it every Thursday.
No, I did not know that.
Yeah, every Thursday.
I just went to a burlesque show in Houston a few weeks ago. We had about 200 people there, which was a small venue, and so it was pretty much full. You know,
that's good.
And it's a lot of fun.
Is there a variety act?
There is not. There's not a variety act. But the show itself is kind of a variety. You know, each month they have a different theme, and this one happened to be like video games. And some guy was playing a video game, and he fell into this huge TV monitor, and so the people who were the burlesque people, the men and women who were the dancers or strippers, were some of the video characters, you know, like Laura Croft.
Really?
You know, or something. From the 80s, you know, some of the old video games, and Miss Pac-Man and that kind of a thing, you know, very, very odd. So they didn't really need any variety because they had enough kind of within the scripting of what they had.
Yeah, this is the show I'm in. The one girl comes out of a giant cake, sort of a Marie Antoinette theme, Renaissance kind of vibe. It's a lot of fun.
Hold on. But yeah, I've been going out there, for a long time when the Playboy Club actually had a casino in Atlantic City, way back like in 80 something. I don't remember when.
Or earlier, maybe.
Yeah. But I haven't been out in quite some time.
I'd never been there.
You haven't?
First time.
Yeah. Well, there's a local guy in Houston, Harry Maurer, who plays out there apparently a lot in Atlantic City. He's won some awards for being the comedy magician of the year or something, I think, in Atlantic City.
Really?
He's a cruise ship guy, so that's why you may not have heard of him necessarily, because he's out on the seas a lot. So how long has your contract been, or how long are you going to be there?
It's been since May.
And you're kind of open-ended
right now?
October 15th. Okay, the 15th.
Yeah.
And it could be extended, but you're...
I don't think it will, although I understand we're due it again before, or right after Christmas, the 26th through the 1st of January. 26th of December through the 1st of December. It's like a week run after that.
Now, you've got an unusual act from the standpoint that it's not seasonal. You know, some magicians work during the holidays, it seems like, or others will say, like, you or Max Maven, you probably work Halloween or whatever, you know. But or seances or whatever. So, but yours is something that's kind of year-round. You kind of work whenever and wherever, and it's a silent act, kind of.
Well, normally it's a talking act. It's always been a talking act. Only in the last few years has it become a silent act.
Okay.
The 10-minute act is kind of new for me in regard to my career, which, I mean, for 25 years I've been doing this for a living.
Right.
Only in the last 5 or 8 years have I had an act that was somewhat silent. And now I finally have taken the last lines out of the show.
Yeah.
I will say one word, and I don't even have to do that.
Yeah, but the nice thing is that you can play that anywhere. I was thinking you know, Mr. Electric, who can play, used to play his act anywhere in the world.
I don't know why I waited so long.
And you're glad you did. Do you ever work cruise ships?
Yeah, I've done a lot of
cruise. What do you think of them?
Well...
Is it for you?
That's a whole other can of worms. it's a little tricky for me on the ships because there's a lot of hoops to jump through these days. You can't do fire.
Right.
And when there's a juggler on, they don't want me to juggle. And a lot of my act, my longer act is, I mean, no, they may want 2 45-minute shows.
Right.
Different.
Right, they ain't a vision.
And I need my juggling.
Right.
I started out as a juggler.
Okay.
That was my act, my first performing was a juggling act, and I got more and more magic.
Did you? Oh, we got hot coffee. Thank you, Kathy. That really helps. That is warm.
Do you want milk?
Yeah,
if
you can. It's
milk,
black
sugar?
For me. Sugar.
I would milk.
Sugar.
Just milk.
Thank you. Were you trained also as a circus performer? Did you work with?
No. I just emulated some street performers that I saw.
Wow, that is hot coffee.
Yeah.
Ouch. Some street performers.
Well, yeah, and I did a little street performing, but never for a living.
Yeah.
I started out mainly doing, school shows, anything I could get, county fairs. And that was always a 45-minute act, talking that company, corporate stuff. Yeah, a lot of that. And occasionally variety shows, but the last few years I've been doing more and more. And as I age, I like the idea of a 10-minute silent act.
More and more.
But
you have so much crap to carry.
I still have to carry the same amount of crap.
Bowling ball and all that stuff.
You know, I've got a full hour and a half theater show.
Yeah.
Then it's almost the same amount of stuff. It's ridiculous.
Yeah. You don't pack flat.
I'm trying. Yeah. Scott, I don't know how this all happened. Thank you.
That is hot. Yeah.
Thank you so much.
You don't know how it happened, but what?
I don't know how it escalated.
Oh.
I mean, I used to walk in with a little suitcase, put it on a table, open it up, do my act, 45 minutes, throw it back in the suitcase, close it, and leave.
Yeah.
Now I'm there, when I do the theater show, I'm there 5 hours in advance doing light tech. And I mean, it's a way better show.
Sure, well, that's why they hire you. I mean, otherwise they'd hire anybody else, who could come in and out just real quick.
Yeah.
So it's worth it. It seems like I remember Mike Cadney saying something about when he was publishing some things in Magic Comedy, saying, guys won't do this because it's extra trouble. I was doing the...
isn't that why we see so much mentalism these days?
Cardiographic was something, I was doing early on, and very few, if any, magicians were doing that because it was hard to make and you had to put the thing together. It wasn't just one of those things you buy off the shelf and put in your show that night kind of a thing, until some people started mass producing them and then more people started doing them. But I did it for the longest time, it was a staple. So those things that are difficult to do, I think, places you a step or two above the others,
I think so. There's two cardiographic versions that I love, and one of them is Eric Buss's. He's got a new version.
No, I haven't seen it. Wait a minute, or have I? Yes, I did. I'm trying to remember. It was something that was unique.
Some crazy thing. And I can't exactly remember how it all shook out, but it was really good. That's all I can say. And then John Lovick comes out of a cake as Handsome Jack.
Oh, on his cartoon thing that he draws?
On cardiogram. Yeah.
Years ago at the Magic Island, I remember Joe Givens doing one, and it was alphabet soup. And so he drew a bunch of letters or something on the thing, and then suddenly the letters all formed the name of the card or something like that. Yeah, it was very clever.
Nice.
So there are different variations, certainly. You can put a spin on that would make it a little bit different than just a rising card.
Handsome Jack coming out of a cake.
That's funny.
It's like a bachelor party theme. Bachelorette party theme.
Yeah.
That's the prize.
Yeah. Well, hey, listen, the name of my podcast is called The Magic Word, and so I always like to ask my guests what your magic word is. That is not necessarily like abracadabra, it could be, but what is it that is your philosophy of life? What do you do that's important? I mean, when you wake up in the morning, what do you want to do? What's exciting? What drives you? That's the best way to put it. What drives you?
That's deep, isn't it?
Well, that's right.
Embrace your failure. Is that embrace
that
failure?
That's good. Embrace
that's
your failure. Yeah.
My whole act is, I'm lucky to have this act where everything goes wrong anyway, so if something really goes wrong, I'm okay.
Yeah.
I'm covered. That's my out.
Yeah. Yeah, where it was kind of like Carl Ballantyne, where things are kind of going wrong a little bit. Celebrate the failure. That sounds great. All right, well, those are words to live by then as well. So for the Magic Word Podcast, that was David Kaplan. This is Scotty out.
Scott Wells for the MagicWordPodcast.com. And as I'm over here and walking around, of course, you're running into a lot of international stars of magic. Here's one right now from the Magic Circle, who's the editor of the Magic Circular and also recent winner of the Close-Up Magician of the Year, Mr. Will Houston. Will, hello.
Hello. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. Are you enjoying FISM?
Yes, it's been great fun.
Now, you have been to how many of these?
I have been to 3.
And which has been your favorites?
Stockholm was terrifying because I made the mistake of entering the competition.
I saw you. Yeah, you were doing the coins.
Here is very nice because here is sort of warm and non-terrifying.
Warm. Man, this is like Houston hot.
Yeah, it's good.
It's like kind of humid. Well, yeah.
And they booked Michael Motion as well, who's someone you don't get to see every day of the week, and he was utterly fantastic.
Is he going to lecture again?
I think he only did one.
That one? I was watching the competition, and I really wanted to see it. I heard it's a fantastic lecture.
Yeah, I think it's possibly the best lecture I've seen.
Darn, I wish
maybe
people said
stop.
That.
It was terrible. Abysmal.
Okay, or thank you.
Just a juggler. No one even likes jugglers, do they?
I was talking with Max Trogi just yesterday, and he said it was undoubtedly the highlight of this entire convention. I can't imagine anything else would be better, and the rest of this is fantastic. But he said, you missed it. I said, oh, great, thanks.
Yep.
And because of all the philosophy and what that he was talking about, and not just juggling, obviously. So, yeah, I'm sorry I missed that one, but I really wanted to see a lot of the competition and everything. It's hard to choose, you know, what you got to see.
What is this?
It's some really good stuff. Well, what have you seen that you have really liked so far here? Stage-wise, stage and then close-up.
Michael Motion was great. There was a very interesting act today with a puppet. Hmm. And the puppet did a sequence of tricks and so forth. But the remarkable thing about it was there was a guy who's obviously manipulating the puppet, which means you can see bits of string going straight up from the puppet to the person's hands.
Right.
And at the same time, a small sponge ball floats near the puppet. And one, I think, can safely assume that the man over the top with the pieces of string going down to the puppet
right.
could feasibly have had a piece of string going down to the ball.
Yes.
Yet it looked really rather magical.
Right.
And the puppet also had a certain sense of charm and charisma and likability.
Whimsy.
That's
right.
Perhaps lacking in some of the less wooden performers.
Less wooden.
Was peculiar.
How well said. I'm going to have to write. Okay, you're going to go back and listen to this podcast and use those same words to write this up when you put it in the circular. Well said. Less wooden. Overall, I thought they had a high level of quality in all the competition. Now, being a close-up magician of the year, how would you rate a lot of the close-up competitors here? I assume you've seen most of the close-up contests.
I've only seen two or three acts.
Oh, is that right? Okay, because you've been going to all the lectures.
I've been to one lecture.
Just the one.
I've been to a bit of the stage show and then just enjoyed chatting with people and sort of hanging around and that kind of thing. What I've seen looked good.
Yeah.
Sort of as ever, technically strong.
Sure.
As ever, in competition world, perhaps not the most presentation or character or motivated
right,
stuff.
Right.
But lots of really pretty looking things. So.
And have you found anything as far as the dealers go that strikes your fancy? Nothing new that.
Not really.
Kind of with you so far that, I mean, they've got a lot of stuff, but I haven't found anything that really has jumped out that says, buy me. For sure, but everybody seems to be, the dealers are doing well. I mean, every time I come out, everyone's got a line.
Looks busy.
Yep, it does indeed. I was asking about what your favorite FISM was. A lot of people have been telling me that it was their first one, which mine was an 88 in The Hague, which was really great and a lot of fun. The last issue of the Magic Circular editorial was written by somebody else since, I guess, that... You were the one...
Yes, I was sort of press-ganged onto the cover by the management committee,
mm-hmm.
and so the issue was guest-hosted by Brian Sibley, who's a wonderful writer and expert on magic in a fictional sense and so on, mm-hmm. expert on Lewis Carroll, theatre, radio, broadcaster, and also very interested in magic and knows a lot about it.
So it made sense for him to kind of fill in?
Filled in. Yes. He wrote some extra articles for me, did some reviews... Mm-hmm. that are in a sort of slightly different vein to the normal things in the magazine.
Yep.
And then also did an interview, which he's very well qualified to do.
Now, as far as competing for that, is there a separate category for junior and senior, or is it all just close-up?
At the Magic Circle, there's the Close-Up Magician of the Year and the Stage Magician of the Year, which is open to any Magic Circle member, but Magic Circle membership is limited to 18+.
I see.
Then there's also the Young Magicians Club, which is the youth initiative for the society. That doesn't have the same audition process and so on to get in as the main club does. You just have to be interested in magic, and that has its own set of competitions which are distinct. The main one being the Young Magician of the Year, which is held every 2 years, and a lot of people who've done really good things in the future or after right. entering have won that.
And that's held separately from
that's
the other
entirely separate.
Contest.
Yes.
Gotcha. Okay. And the contest, once they're held, do they do all the judging and make the awards and everything like right away, or is
yes.
it a separate
all
special banquet? Or
all of an evening.
Oh, well, okay.
All of an evening.
Okay.
So, yeah.
And how many people compete typically?
It's normally about 8 in the final, but they have a sort of video heats type round, and mm-hmm. I have no idea how many people send in videos
sure.
for them to choose the 8.
So you can live anywhere in the world and submit your video.
You can live anywhere in the world and submit a video to enter if you're in the circle,
right.
but you would have to be there for the final, I think, to
okay.
do your main performance.
I see. That makes sense.
But you wouldn't have to be in London on 2 separate occasions to do stuff mm-hmm. or something like that.
Well, now to do a pitch just for joining the Magic Circle, how would one go about if someone's listening and they want to join the most prestigious organization in the world?
If you're interested in joining, you can go to themagiccircle.co.uk and all the details of how to be a member on there. The website's just being updated at the moment, so if something isn't there, send an email to one of the contacts there or check back in a while and it will be there. And the other thing to mention is the Magic Circle has a new apprentice level membership, which is for people who aren't sure if they're at standard to pass the exam yet, or perhaps don't know the members who can propose and second them, who've known them for at least a year.
Yes.
And you can join as an apprentice member, you still get the magazine, you can still attend the club, you can still go to the lectures, you can still use the library. You can't borrow library books, you can't say that you're a member, but it gives you a 2-year period in which you can be engaged with the society to sort of build up to doing your exam and becoming a full member. So that's a new thing that perhaps makes it slightly easier for people to get in and slightly easier for people who want to find their way in but never quite knew how to get to the right standard and what it is that they need to do to find out more about that before doing the exam.
And they still have access to the club?
Yes.
And they pay a lower fee for that, or is it the same, you know?
I don't know off the top of my head.
Okay. Just wondering how that works.
Effectively, you're a member in terms of you have the same set of privileges as a member, apart from library borrowing, but it's just limited to 2 years.
Sure.
So you can't join and never take the exam. You have to do it, and you're sort of expected to do it within that 2-year period.
Makes sense. Well, in closing, then, the name of my podcast is called The Magic Word. What would be your magic word? What is your philosophy of life? What is it that drives you, wakes you up in the morning? What's important to you? It doesn't have to be a word. It could be a phrase, a sentence, a paragraph. What's important? What do you like? What do you do?
Yeah, just doing things that are interesting and fun.
Okay.
Things that you find interesting and fun tend to come across as interesting and fun to other people.
So yeah.
Trying not to do something because I think it's the right thing to do or the sensible thing to do or whatever.
Right.
But do it because I'm interested in it and want to do it.
I like that. Very good.
For
the Magic Word. Very selfish. No. For the Magic Word Podcast, that was Will Houston. This is Scotty out. Hello, this is Scott Wells with the MagicWordPodcast.com, and we are just having some martinis because it's Thursday night. Magic and martinis here with Bill Hurst. Hey there, Bill.
Hi, Scott. How are you?
I'm fantastic. And so, yeah, I'm a piker. This is my third FISM. This is how many for you?
This is, I think, my 12th.
Oh, my goodness. So
yes.
Your first one was when?
I guess 1970 something or other.
Dresden or whereabouts?
Oh, it was before Dresden.
Okay.
It was
Vienna?
I think it was Vienna.
Okay.
That probably was the first, yeah.
Because I was talking with a guy from Austria last evening, and he was saying in the late 70s was one in Vienna, the
yes.
last time they had it there.
I think that's what
Austria.
It was, yeah. I guess it was, yeah.
Now, people say usually their first FISM is kind of their best one, their best memory, because I enjoyed mine in The Hague. What about you?
I actually would reverse it.
Yeah.
I would say they
most
get
recent.
Better each time, because I think it's about the people. It's
it
not
is.
About the magic, you know
yeah.
what I mean? And there's so many people that you see, you know, every few years or even people that you see regularly who you see away from the normal
yeah.
world that you just have great fun, great
right.
dinners, great ideas. You see some great magic,
yeah.
you see some incredibly bad magic,
yeah.
but that's what makes it fun.
Yeah.
And I like it all. It's my favorite time.
Well, by comparison, because you have been to so many, would you say that the level of competition has increased? It's gotten better than what that it was, or is it maintained, do you think?
You know,
good and bad? Or?
I think it's That's a great question, but I think it's stayed pretty much the same in the sense that there's always two or three breakout acts.
Yeah.
Like this year, I've noticed there's a lot of knockoffs, and I don't mean knockoffs, but copying of style of Yuho Jin, who won the last time.
Yep.
I remember when Lance Burton won.
Then there were a lot of clones the next time.
The following time, everybody had a lamppost in the Dove Act.
Yes.
You know, but then you always have two or three acts where you kind of go, holy crow, this is great. But even the bad acts, sometimes you'll see a spark and you go...
I do get some ideas sometimes, even bad acts.
Right.
I saw something in Bill some years ago. There was some fella, I was talking about this with someone last evening. We're doing Paul Harris's linking cards, playing cards, with jumbo cards on stage. And I hadn't thought about doing that. I mean, it was I didn't care for his routine and what he did with it, basically.
Right.
But I started thinking you can use small things to make them large and vice versa then as well to make them more micro or whatever.
Absolutely.
And so that was, well, this was, I don't know how many years ago, and it was shortly after he put out that great effect. But the point is, I learned something from a bad act. You know.
Learn from what I go see everything in all aspects of theater. I'll watch it. I'll sit through anything.
Yeah.
People say to me, I mean, after all these years, you still go to the contest, and I'm the guy in the front row.
Yeah.
The first time, and I try and sit through them all, and just as you said, you know, I love it.
Yeah.
Even the bad stuff.
Sure.
Some you remember that you kind of wonder yourself, where is this person's thought process coming from?
Well, sometimes, you know, they really abstract. There were some acts here that were really kind of off the wall, but maybe they're just ahead of their time, or I'm not caught up with them yet, or something.
Exactly. And the other thing that's amazing, in fact, I was talking to Simon Perreault, who was on the stage show, who does great iPad magic, and great.
He's on the Ellen show with that.
Yes, right, exactly. Yeah. Great act. He was a competitor in 2003. Didn't win or any. I don't think he won. But the fact is that you see people 10 years later who took a gem of an idea. It was might have been a bad idea, but there was something there, and they took it and ran with it and came up with something that now does work. So, you know, I mean, it's a growing process.
Without
for everybody.
Naming names, I know a fella who was pretty much out of the box, and he was ahead of his time, I guess, and is a fairly well-known name now.
Right.
When I knew him when he was younger, everybody kind of said, yeah, he's kind of stayed away from this guy because he was just too weird. But that's now people are trying to catch up to him.
Absolutely.
You know?
Absolutely. You got to follow what you think is the right thing. And as I always say, the audience tells you what works.
Well, that's true.
You know, I mean, how many times will we all... I can't tell you how many times I've come up with an idea or seen something or talked with someone and go, this is going to be brilliant and it's going to kill. And then it falls so flat, you have no idea.
Yeah.
And then just the opposite, where you go, all right, I'll throw this in, I don't know if it'll work. And it becomes your closer. So, you know, you just don't know.
Some years ago, like in the 70s, I was doing a matrix in a restaurant. And instead of playing cards, I was using credit cards. I would borrow credit cards from the patrons. And I did a matrix routine. And it was great. And I stopped doing it because I thought, well, I'm just doing this for me. And then I did it one time kind of impromptu for dinner. And it just blew people away. And I thought, there might be something to bring this back again, you know?
Yeah.
And then use business cards instead of playing cards. You know, you don't need to think of just what the original was you saw.
Absolutely, yeah. Well, that's the whole fun, is taking it and adapting the idea and making it yours and taking...
Well, for another example, there's the credit card grinder, you know, where you grind thing and then you have the...
I haven't seen that around a lot
for
lately.
A long time.
Yeah.
I've got one that I've been wanting to use, like, at a trade show. I've kind of been germinating this and thinking that of using the key cards, which they have then now for the room.
Absolutely.
And so you borrow their key card, you know, and so they're engaged. They're not going to leave the booth because you got their card, you know, and so you grind the thing, you pour out the little pieces or whatever, and then you restore them later or whatever.
That's so a very neat idea.
Yeah,
well, that's the thing is, you know, I mean, it's for a while, watch tricks are out of style because nobody had a watch. Now watches are coming back in because they're collectibles again.
You know, that's true.
You know, I mean, everything.
On eBay,
it's like fashion.
Yeah.
What's old is new again.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Well, as for this FISM, what has stood out then for you? What act, close up or stage or what, or both, or something that you think is going to be a winner? You think you've seen a Grand Prix winner here yet?
I don't.
Okay.
No, I haven't seen much of the close-up competition.
Fair enough.
No, but also, like, of the professionals, I know everybody.
Sure.
So it's nothing new.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you, I mean, what I loved was I don't know his name, and I should. The 11-year-old kid who did the great coin magic.
You're talking about the kid last night that Michael,
yes.
Dave Williamson was introducing on stage. Is he from France or something?
Germany,
okay.
And have you seen his YouTube clip?
I've not, but I've heard he's had like a million hits or something.
It's unbelievable. You'll go, I'm going to just cut my hands off and become a, you know.
I thought that was a wonderful, honorable thing that David did, bringing him up and saying, hey, just do it. And I thought he was just bringing some kid out of the audience, and he started doing this stuff, you know, and he said, this is the future of magic, you know. I'm handing the reins over to this kid, you know.
Well, I'll tell you an interesting thing about David. One, David is really, really smart, as we all know. I mean, besides being a great performer, I remember years ago, I'm not going to mention the other act's name, but it's a very, very, very well-known act. And I was on, David was on in this other act, and this other act was on, and it was a family audience. And this first act, the kids wanted to get involved, and the performer made some comment like, not in your wildest dreams, kid. And the whole audience turns against him. And David turned to me backstage and goes, big mistake. You know, and then David went out there, and even though it was majority adults, he got a kid up and made the kid the star. The audience loved him.
Of course.
And so, I mean, kids and animals, you can't lose.
That's true. Well, unless you treat them.
You mistreat them.
Yeah.
But it's about putting your ego aside and making the star of somebody, you become a bigger star.
There was a guy today on the stage that was a comedy magician. I don't know if he's from France or where, but the idea was that he had this imaginary dog that kept yapping in the background. Did you see that one?
I didn't.
Okay. Well, he kept kicking it, or he was going to shoot it, or he was, trying to shoo it away, basically.
Right.
But it was an imaginary dog. And at first, it was kind of like, oh, this came kind of rude. And you start to turn against him. But after a while, you kind of realize that the dog really is impeding on his act, you know, basically, and bothering him. And at the end, the dog gets together with some other friends, apparently, and you hear all this pack of dogs. And then he runs off stage, comes back, and his clothes are in tatters. The dogs have all ripped him to shreds.
Right.
You know. So it ends up, you know, it's very funny. But for a while, you're thinking, oh, you know, that he's kicking a dog, you know.
Right.
And
exactly.
And some people who are real animal lovers be turned off immediately.
Right.
You
know, it's funny you say that. I do a lot of corporate events, and every now and then. But I won't do anything with animals now for the corporation's sake, because I know they're going to get letters complaining. No matter what you do, you could, you know, bring out an endangered animal and treat it like gold.
Yeah.
You're going to get letters about, you know, and that's another thing that's changed in magic. You know, nobody, you know, you can't do a lion and tiger anymore because too many people are politically aware.
Well, cigarettes. You know, I used to do Terry Seabrook's cigarette and coat routine.
We all did.
Yeah, and then you can't find a cigarette, and then
and now you can't find a coat.
And, well, that's another thing.
Right.
You know, I stopped doing it because the firearms in the banquet halls. You know, I was thinking, I'm going to. So I started using a shredder. You know, with my burn bill routine or something.
Sure.
And so with this FISM, this I think is a nice location, you know, here in Rimini. It's been nice and warm. It seems this is like Houston hot, Houston humid. It's a nice venue, you know, here at the Congress Hall, Convention Center. Now, by comparison with other places, how would you compare this with venue?
You know, I'm the wrong guy to ask, because it doesn't matter to me. Because I'm
here to see the friends.
Right. I'm here to see the friends, so it could be, you know, I think I've been outside for, you know, a total of 3 hours since I've been here. This is not what, you know, I don't bring my wife.
Yeah.
This is my magic playtime. This is we.
It's your holiday.
It's my, this is, you know, I mean, I go on vacation with my wife and stuff to someplace beautiful. Yeah. We're outside the whole time. But, so, I mean, there's always good and bad at FISM. I don't care which one, I can tell you things that I would have changed. But, you know, you can find things bad. I always find the good. You know, I try.
Yeah, some years ago I was involved with Charlie McFarland and David Fields were hosting a convention in Midland, Texas. And we were talking about the fact that, I mean, they were the ones who sponsored the whole thing. We were putting the thing together. saying that if you have the right mix of people, you can hold it anywhere, because really, even in Midland, Texas, out in West Texas, the middle of basically nowhere, it seems like. And we still, and we had, you know, Roger Klaus, we had Heba Habahal, we had Eugene Berger, we had Daryl, we had Michael Lamar, and then we had some other really good acts, you know, Martin Nash.
Exactly.
And, you know,
right, sure.
It was great. And we did have a pretty good turnout for that, and it was at the airport hotel,
right,
a motel, basically.
Right.
Because nobody's going to be leaving. There's nothing to see. Nobody's bringing their friends. It's not a vacation.
Absolutely.
You know? You're going to see friends and to learn some really good stuff.
Absolutely.
You know?
That's why I think it doesn't matter. I mean, I love the call. What I do love is the whole
European culture.
European culture, yeah. And even that, you know, that all the cultures get together, and, you know, you walk out of here with a friend from Hungary who you hadn't met, and you know the next time,
sure,
if you go through Hungary, you can call them, and vice versa, and that's what it's all about to me.
Yeah.
The location, it could be Newark, New Jersey. I couldn't care less.
It may be in South Korea next time.
And I'll be there.
You'll be there.
Yeah. It doesn't matter. I mean, I find a reason to go.
Yeah.
I mean, unless they're, you know, I mean, I turn down shows. I do. This is the one thing
but
I do.
But do you spend time before or after kind of visiting? I mean, my wife and I have been, and Trixie Bond, her husband, have been traveling around northern Italy for a week before this, just kind of touring. Do you do that as well, or you just come in and out?
I come in and out because I'm not with my family.
I see.
I do a, I'm a very
real
good
vacation.
I'm a good vacation taker, so later this summer the whole family's in Russia and we're in other places, and I've done Italy numerous times, and I love Italy, love Italy.
Well, let me ask you, as I kind of wrap up over here, because the name of my podcast is called The Magic Word, and I think I can almost anticipate what your magic word would be. What is your philosophy of life? What is your phrase, or what is it important to you?
It is what it is. Meaning, go with it. Don't fluff it. I'll tell you the other thing. And I think this is it was my wife's a few years ago, and we've lived by it for years, which is say yes. Very simple. Say yes.
Yes.
No matter what, if an opportunity presents itself, take it. Live life.
Yeah.
You know, say yes.
I've heard it said that there are more ways to say yes than there are ways to say no. In other words, you know, nodding your head, yes, that's right, or whatever.
That's a good way to put it.
Yes.
Yeah.
As opposed to trying to find a way to say no.
Right.
Or shaking your head. I mean,
exactly.
There are only a finite number of ways, but there are so many ways to say yes, and so it's a good thing to do.
Yeah,
Be positive.
Be positive. And I mean, how many times have you know, you'll be at home and somebody will call and say, let's go do this, and you can't, well, I don't know. My theory on that is, how many times have you done it when you go out and go, God, I wish I hadn't done that? Never.
Yeah.
So the answer
is an adventure.
Right.
Say yes. The answer is say yes.
Say yes.
That's right.
Really, that's our every year our New Year's resolution we renew it is say yes, live life.
Awesome. For the Magic Word Podcast, that was Bill Hertz. This is Scotty out. Scott Wells for the MagicWordPodcast.com, and we just finished with Luke Germain's one-man show, and I'm now here then with Phil Cass and Felipe. Hello.
From Australia.
From all the way from
Hello.
Down under, the land of Oz.
That's the one.
And it's good to have you here. Now, have you guys actually performed at FISM in the past?
No, we did Blackpool. When was that, Philip?
That was the Blackpool Convention.
2013 Blackpool Convention.
And you were performing or competing?
No, I was performing.
Performing
for Blackpool.
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah, and lecturing.
Which apparently is bigger than this one. It's about 3,000 magicians I heard at Blackpool.
Well, there's the Blackpool Convention, which is separate. That was the FISM Blackpool.
No.
Oh,
just
Blackpool.
Okay,
I was talking about the Blackpool Convention.
Yes. Right. That is.
But we were at the Blackpool FISM last time as well.
Okay.
And this one, we've been to everyone since 1991.
And which has been your favorite?
All of them are good, all in their own way.
I've heard people say that the first is their. I mean, my first was in '88 in The Hague, and it was a great time. The one in Sweden was good. This is my third one.
I'm
having
a
good time.
Yes? The Hague was great.
Mm-hmm.
My first one was Yokohama. And
yes,
it was
Yokohama
interesting.
Yokohama was interesting.
Mm-hmm. I heard that was crazy expensive.
Just different.
Different, okay.
Different
in a good way?
The comedy is different.
different than good? Well, okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Their comedy. You mean Asian comedy
was
different?
It's different.
And so their appreciation of your humor, they didn't get it or did?
Oh,
or
no.
What?
We didn't get theirs.
Okay.
We
I understand. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, do you think that there is a difference, let's say, between... I know that the English humor is different. It doesn't go across in the U.S. and vice versa. It seems like that...
Yeah, with the Americans, you got to polish the edges just a little bit.
Doing a comedy act the way that you do, I would think that you have to kind of change a little bit.
For the Americans, you just got to polish the edges. So you got to explain it to them a little bit earlier, so they know what
the setup. So what's coming?
The setup is coming up. Yeah.
Okay.
Because I get often introduced as the Don Rickles of magic in America, and
yes.
Don Rickles is a famous comedian who
sarcastic.
And sends everybody up. Yeah?
Right.
But they know that it's not serious. So the audience, if the Americans know that you're not serious, then they understand. So when I do a lot of cruise ships and whatnot, I get introduced as an expert troublemaker.
Right.
And so they now know that I'm a troublemaker, and I've got that sense of humor. So
you're set up that way.
Yeah.
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 Whereas if you're going to be doing that then for the English audiences, that they already know.
I have my mouth and they understand it immediately.
Yeah.
Yeah, because English is the same as Australian and South African and Irish and everywhere except American.
Really. Yeah. Okay, I guess our humor is different than everyone else's as well.
Just slightly different.
Yeah.
It's just sterile.
So what is your favorite venue to work? You prefer cruise ships, corporate, stage?
No, I do corporate and cruise ships more often now than I used to.
Mm-hmm.
And but I really do like my corporate audience. That's what I'm. Mm-hmm. That's how I design my show. And
kind of bread and butter.
Yeah, mm-hmm. and I like it. I like taking a cold audience and turning it around to be a warm audience. And I find it a challenge.
And how do you go about doing that?
I want them to like me, and
of course.
And I do an emotional show. So I take things from them, I borrow things from them, I do things to them, and it's like a little roller coaster. Emotional ride for them. So instead of being on YouTube, it's actually LOL for real.
And you pretty much take the piss out of them while you're taking their stuff and doing stuff to
Mickey.
It.
Mm-hmm. You heard that expression, taking the Mickey?
That's right. Yes, I have.
Yeah.
Yeah. I have, but there are some people who are listening to this podcast who haven't heard that expression. If you want to
Taking the Mickey means we rib each other.
Okay.
And we send each other up. And, and rather than putting you down, it's not really putting you down, it's sending you up.
Right.
So you can't take yourself.
You put yourself down. You are the brunt of the joke, basically.
Not really.
Okay.
The friend, you treat everybody as a friend, and the closer the friend, the worse the insult that you can get away with. That's what taking the Mickey means. We send each other up. We ribbon each other. We don't take ourselves too seriously.
Yes.
Like the birthday cards you give to your best mate.
Yeah.
You know, when you send somebody a birthday card, it's always got a little barb at the end of it.
Exactly.
Yeah. And the worst, better the friend, the worse the insult that you can get away with.
They get away with it.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. And that's what taking the Mickey means.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's all in good natured fun. And if you can't laugh at yourself, you really have to.
Then you're just not funny.
Well, you're missing. If you can't laugh at yourself, you're missing the greatest joke of all time, don't you think?
Yeah. I think so. Now, how do you structure your humor, by the way, then? Hey there, Luke. Good to see you. Very good show.
I saw you the other day at the back of the room, but I was in the middle of all the other stuff, so I couldn't say hello. So, hello.
Good job, Luke.
Thank you. It's really hard doing that show here.
You going to be around here for a while?
I have to rush right now because I have to do something else.
That's okay. No, I'll catch up with you.
I'm here all week, so we should sit down and have a chat. Yeah.
Let's do that.
Yeah.
Good. Good show, Luke.
That was
Luke Germain.
And so we're talking bugger, isn't he? See, he's taking the Mickey.
He needs to take a little scrub, you know, and kind of wash
his arms a little.
So as far as setting up humor and developing that, do you script it? Do you just find things that happen in the context of your show
It's got to match my personality.
Okay.
It's definitely, if the audience is in any doubt at all of where you're coming from and don't understand your character, then you're going to lose.
Right.
So you really have to set your character up first. So,
But do you feel that your character is an extension of you?
Absolutely.
In other words, are you the same kind of person?
It's an exaggerated version of me, and I'm a bit of a practical joker, and I like to treat all my friends as mates, and I don't take life seriously, and I don't take myself seriously. I'm basically an exaggerated...
Yeah,
bit of a mongrel, really.
Yeah, I think that's the best way and the easiest way if someone can kind of be that exaggerated person, because you should be an extension of yourself, and that way, rather than trying to be a false person.
I'm very real on stage, and it's me that you're seeing, not anybody else. I'm not a copy of anybody else. I'm me. So,
mm-hmm.
But also, like most entertainers on stage, they're really quite shy in a social setting.
Yes.
Especially if they don't really know people too well. But, like, I know Phil very well, and he is, like, he is on stage when he's off stage with me, but mm-hmm. we know each other very well. So amongst his close friends, he is like he is on stage.
Right.
With his close friends, but to anyone that just sort of meets him, he's a bit more reserved as well. So you are seeing the
spoken through the eyes of love. See,
no, you are seeing the exaggerated version. Though.
Sure,
but he is like that at home.
That's well, I've often heard that said. Whenever you're on stage, that you should be larger than life, and so but the life that you're projecting should be your own. And
oh,
so
absolutely.
By being a you know. Yeah. Larger than life, that
it'll
way
be yourself. Everybody else is taken.
That's right. I like that.
Yeah,
that's good wise. So, what have you enjoyed the convention here? What shows
I actually the very first night, the whole show was delayed by an hour.
Yeah.
So the audience was offside for a start. But I'm so glad that the show went so well, and I was mm-hmm. particularly impressed by Paul Daniels.
Mm-hmm. His tea time thing, you mean? That he
his spot that he did on stage.
With the chop cup. Yeah,
with the chop cup. Mm-hmm. All he did was come on with the chop cup, right?
Yeah.
But he had to follow three strong acts, mm-hmm. and which is a big thing for a comedy talking act.
Sure.
And he'd come on stage, and he just had total control, mm-hmm. command, like... Just command
of the audience.
Right.
Yeah.
He played them like a violin. It was just amazing. And all he had was a chop cup. And I enjoyed him and the way that he controlled that more than any other spot. And all he did was had a child up on stage with a chop cup.
Right. Well, he was talking about that during
the tea time.
Tea time.
Yeah, I was there, yeah.
Yeah. And in fact, he allowed me to go ahead and record that, so I'll broadcast that at a later time.
That's
in its entirety.
I love that tea time.
For the podcast, yeah.
It was fantastic. That mm-hmm. he got a standing ovation for that as well. It was just incredible.
I chatted with him before the convention began. It was on Sunday before registration, mm-hmm. and he was talking about that very thing. You know, like I was saying that Terry Seabrook had the book Around the World.
Around the World
The baking tin.
Baking tin, yeah.
That's right. And I said, here you got Around the World with Chop Cup, you know, mm. basically. And he said, that's pretty much right. He just kind of travels, mm. and it'd be great.
But he was an absolute master. He so impressed me.
Mm-hmm. What about from the contest standpoint? Anybody on the stage?
I haven't seen a whole lot. I saw a comedy act today, and I hope he must be going very close to winning the comedy section.
Which one was that? There?
The one with the dog.
The imaginary dog.
Yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. The audience seemed to like that. And,
right. Got a standing ovation with that act. It was very funny.
So, Philippa, you missed it, I think, but you're going to see that. I'm pretty sure
he'll be in
the
final. Getting over the driving in Italy. And the fact that we were in Papua New Guinea doing a show in Port Moresby the night before we left for Italy. So
how long have you been here?
Just we got here the day it opened, basically.
Monday.
The night before. Yeah,
okay.
Sunday night.
But
yeah.
Sunday morning we arrived, and we arrived in Milano and drove to Torino and then Bra, and then all through the country, mm-hmm. down to Bologna, and had dinner there, and then into Rimini.
Well, that's a lot of driving. Yeah. I mean, we landed in Milan, but we took about a week to get here.
But you drive on the same side.
We
of
do.
The road.
Yes.
So while you were driving around in Italy, we were in Port Moresby, and yeah, third world country.
How do you get around your jet lag, or what are secrets?
We use airplanes.
Good advice.
I don't have jet lag, actually, but I am tired, but I'm tired at the normal times.
That's
I haven't
because you've
had
jet lag.
No, but I'm tired at the normal times. Mm. I'm not. Yeah, mm. I haven't had the jet lag. But I don't think my body is realising that I'm actually in Italy yet.
Yeah, but we're having a great time. And I'm looking forward to having 10 days off after this conference.
You're going to take a little holiday?
Oh, yeah.
Going to where?
Oh, just Italy. No, we also having to... I'm going over to see my son in Santorini. What is it called?
Santorini.
Okay.
It's a Greek island just off Italy.
Okay.
And my son's going around the world. JacobCast.com is a graphic artist,
mm-hmm.
and what is it? JustCreative.com.
JustCreative.com.
Check him out. He's got a lot of followers. He's kicking a few goals.
Yeah,
my son is.
But that's good. I was going to say going down to Greece with all of the financial turmoil. I'm wondering what that'll be like once you get down there.
Well, I don't know. Life is an adventure.
It is, isn't it? Though
we've been told to take enough euro with you that what you think you're going to use because their ATMs are closed.
Oh, really? So they're not issuing any more
out of cash?
Okay, so take euros in, but they're still using. They're on the euro, I guess, until they decide.
But
that's
what I heard before I left Australia. Mm-hmm. Make sure you get enough euro in Italy before you go to Greece, because ATMs might not be working.
Well, that's interesting.
So this podcast is going where? So should I tell them what you did to me when I lectured in Houston?
Sure, it's going. Everyone except people in Houston listen to this, I think.
So you can tell leave them hanging.
I'll leave you hanging on that way. You can tell them what you did.
When you were talking about going on holiday, I was thinking, you know, you normally go to New Orleans.
Nice segue, don't you think? Nice segue.
Without having to go into all the detail. Whenever that you come, that you go over to New Orleans often, one of your favorite places, I guess?
Yes, it was. Mm-hmm. We like...
Do you like Creole cooking? You like the...
Yeah, all that. And the jazz.
The Cajun. Yeah.
And the jazz.
Yep.
And the boobies. Mm-hmm.
What's
French
not
quarter?
To like about that?
Bourbon Street.
Bourbon Street, yeah.
Oh, and the jester drinks. Oh, my.
Yeah. Hurricanes and all that.
Yeah,
all that. Yeah, you just have two of those.
It's a party town, that's for sure.
Yep.
Thank you, so, please. We have to make some setup in the room, so please, everybody, go out.
All
thank
right.
You.
I guess we're going to need to... Okay, so let's wrap up real quickly and just ask you, since the name of my podcast is called The Magic Word, what would be your magic word? Felipe, I'm going to ask you that first. Now, it wouldn't have to be necessarily like abracadabra. You know, what is your philosophy?
Love.
That's good.
Wooji-wooji.
Wooji-wooji. That sounds like a typical Australian...
And it goes together. Love, wooji-wooji.
Yeah, would you? No. And then she comes back and says, no. And so, wooji-wooji.
Yes.
It's kind of like a joke, except not funny. Yeah.
You can do wooji-wooji within it, with a hand gesture in it. Wooji-wooji-wooji.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I remember Marshall Bodine. Who was Wizzo, the wizard on the Bozo show. His was Duty Duty.
Oh, Duty Duty.
Duty Duty, yeah. So, Wooji Wooji. Okay,
Wooji Wooji.
All right. Thank you guys very much. That's Phil Cass and Philippe for the Magic Word Podcast. This is Scotty out. Well, we got a lot crammed into this episode, and I hope that you enjoyed hearing from all of these different people and their perspectives, and also that we have more to come for the next couple of days. The competitions are not over, so we're going to continue to present you with even more updates as we get closer to the end. Well, that's all for right now, and it's getting quite late, and I certainly am just running on fumes. I've had no sleep, and I hope that you've enjoyed it. And let me just say, if you have, I appreciate your support, and I appreciate you listening. Also, I would appreciate any financial support that you could give me, since these podcasts are presented free of charge to you. If you would like to become a friend of The Magic Word, be sure to visit patreon.com/TheMagicWord. That's Patreon, P as in Perry, P-A-T-R-E-O-N, patreon.com/TheMagicWord. And you can learn how that you can become an ongoing supporter of The Magic Word Podcast. Until next time, this is Scotty out.